And welcome online to those who are following along online. We are nothing more than imperfect people serving a perfect Savior. That's who we are. I indeed fit that description, and everyone else here does too. And we're just working to make Him known, and it's our prayer for you that you come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Real quick, a couple of reminders. You can be turning to Hebrews chapter 10, by the way, in your Bible. First reminder, something Luke mentioned last week. I'm not going to spend a long time on this. By the way, thanks to him for preaching in my absence last week. Really enjoyed listening to his lesson online entitled Working for God's Purpose. Whether you were here or not, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. It's a great listen. At the beginning of that lesson, when you listen to it, you'll hear him talk about it, so I don't need to do that too much now. But here's an opportunity coming in the fall for our young men to develop themselves, and in fact, for all of us to have a role in encouraging that training that's going to take place as a dad. If I can put that hat on for a second, I'm just so thankful and so excited about that, and appreciate Luke and others he's working with that are going to make that happen. The second reminder has to do with something that we've been talking about and praying about for a few weeks. Before you leave today, I've got the supply up here, but I'll be out in the foyers afterwards. I want you to grab a couple of these cards. If you're a guest, certainly would welcome you to grab one or two of these, but our members especially want you to grab two, and I'll explain in a moment why I want you to grab two. We're working to make it possible to enter this question. I don't know if you can see it, but it's the one we've been talking about. If you could ask God one question, you get an interview with God, you just get one question, what would you ask Him? Okay? I want you to think about that. We're working to make it possible to enter that question on our website directly, but for now, maybe these cards can help. Just one of many tools we're making available to encourage you just to engage others in spiritual conversation. I will tell you, several of our teens have latched on to this. You're still a teen, right? Okay. Taking these to work, talking this question up. They even have some ideas about what we could do to follow up on this. So really, that's energizing to me. Here's why I said two. I want our members especially, I want you to get one of these and fill one of them out for you, okay? Listen, as preachers, one of the things we want to accomplish is to preach to need. And so you can help with that. If there is some nagging question that is really getting in the way of faith in Jesus, boy, that'd be great to know about, wouldn't it? And maybe we don't treat that in a sermon, but that would be very valuable for leadership to know about. You don't have to put your name on this, by the way, if you don't want to. But fill one out for yourself, and then the second card, what do you think I'm going to ask you to do with it? Give one to someone else, okay? Maybe a conduit for engaging people in conversations you're probably already having. So anyway, enough with that. I don't think it's any secret that this summer, a lot of us are going to find ourselves scattered here and there and everywhere, right? Is that how the song goes? Vacationing and attending camps and attending to family responsibilities. We have, of course, Paul engaged in military service, some preparing for college, assisting in the work of God elsewhere, so on and so forth. I think it's fair to say that for a lot of us, our lives right now, what is this? June the 16th. Happy Father's Day, by the way. June the 16th, our lives look a lot different than they may have just a month ago, right? Normal for this season has been a bit redefined. And so what that means, I want you to think about what that means for this family of believers. And guests, I ask you to indulge me about this. I want you to think about the challenges that creates for us, if I can put it that way. Week to week, fewer of us, arguably, will be here. Fewer of us will be here at any one given time for assemblies and classes, okay? You wouldn't know it by today. We've got a lot of guests, a great crowd. This isn't a criticism by any means. It's just an observation. And I'm bringing it up because I hope we realize there are some challenges that summertime poses to the momentum of the work of a church, of the growth of a church in certain ways. When circumstances, for instance, take us elsewhere for a time, there exists the possibility that we will be less connected with one another. Would you agree with that? And look, there is nothing. Social media has its benefits, okay? I know sometimes I kind of kick that around up here. Social media has its benefits, but let's be honest. Social media does not adequately fill the void that us being together face-to-face can create. Social media just can't compensate for that fully. And so if we follow that all the way through, we could see a little bit of a danger maybe to the fabric of unity that exists, I believe, in this church. Another reality stemming from increased travel is that we have to all, as we're out of town, well, we have to unplug from here, right? We have to unplug from some of the things that we normally plug into. Jeremy arranged a great study for some of us dads to get together and talk about our roles as dads. That would be very, very hard to schedule during this time of year. It just would. In fact, some of our other studies, some of our devotionals, right, we take a break from them of necessity during the summer. We're unplugging from our Bible classes as we're away. And certainly, we can't be plugged into our worship services. I asked you to go to Hebrews chapter 10, just a thought for you to consider. I don't know if you've ever considered how being a regular part of a church family could help you be a better worshiper. Let me say that again so you can really think about this. How being a regular part of a church family really gives you a leg up on being really good at worship. Now, that's not the only thing that helps us be good at worship, but look at this text with me. Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." In fact, I had it. I've got a slide for it. Don't want to miss the chance to put that on there because we have, obviously, moms holding kids and so forth. Look at that language in the first part of that. You can read 25 on your own. It says, consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Well, that requires a knowledge of one another so that we wisely know how to do that. You get the point. To the extent that we are connected to one another and are a regular part of a church family, we are positioned at least to do a better job of that, right? So you see, when we're unplugged from here, potentially, let me emphasize that word, potentially, there are some threats to the fabric of our unity. And don't think Satan wouldn't love to take advantage of those. We also tend to be less plugged into, well, any collective efforts taking place, a congregational project, some work we're pursuing. We're of necessity, we can't be as involved. We're out of town, we're not present to pray with one another. Yes, we can pray for one another wherever we're at. We're going to talk about that today, in fact. And let me just mention in passing, I have to think, I don't know this from experience, that shepherding a local church can be a bit of a challenge during the summer months as the sheep are scattered to the four winds. Now, my purpose for bringing all of this up is really not to dwell primarily on the challenges or dangers associated with our being scattered about. I'm just planting that kind of basic thought. My purpose really this morning is simply to say we can and must overcome those potential obstacles. And I think we can find some help in this in another book of the New Testament. So now I want you to go to the book of Philippians. In fact, go to this text, chapter 1. We're going to read verse 27 in just a moment. Philippians chapter 1. Now, you may remember that Paul, as he wrote this, was in prison. He's under Roman imprisonment. They're described at the end of the narrative in the book of Acts. And here as we read this letter, it's clear Paul really didn't know when or if he would get to make a return visit. And yet this text is so impressive. We see things in this verse, this one verse, and in the greater context, the verses around it, things that overcame this distance between Paul and brethren he very much wanted to see. Greater than the distance between them, there were things that were greater. He remained bound to them and they to him in love despite this unwanted separation. And Paul wanted to encourage that sort of spirit, that sort of affection and unity, a walk, a spirit, a heart within the fabric of this local church that he would describe as befitting of Christ and his gospel. He's talking about a heart that would be constant. A heart that would be steadfast, that would continue on even if he could not be there. A heart reflected in a oneness that we've sung about this morning. A focus. And do you see what the focus is on this in this verse? It's on the faith, on the work, on the advancement of the gospel. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm. You see, separation or not, it goes on. Their hearts go on. I hate to put it that way because of the song. With one mind, standing firm, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So I think about this summer of activity and the many miles that separate or may separate many of us. I've been thinking about this verse, and I find that Paul's words here, brethren, in verse 27 and in the surrounding portions of the letter, I think they have some big things to say to us here at Nashua. And my plea to us this morning is that whether we go or stay, I can borrow from Paul's language, that we all may continue to have and to manifest this mindset that we find in the text, a heart that continues to strive for the faith of the gospel. In fact, I want to spend some time with you in the text talking about that idea, and in fact, talking about some important principles, some important truths, that if we will allow those to live within us, I think will serve to promote this mindset that Paul, by inspiration, is calling on us to have. Things that will promote a heart, an attitude called for from the Philippian church and by anyone who reads this as a disciple. I think these things that we're going to talk about this morning, nothing new, but very profound, very, very powerful, and very much worth celebrating. And again, to the extent that we allow them to live within us, our hearts as a family will be joined together. We'll be so closely knit. We'll have, you know, alignment's important in your car, right? Alignment's important in a church. And alignment of heart is critical amongst us as the people of God. These are some things that create alignment. That give us strength, that give us comfort, that empower us, that energize us and motivate us. And so then, we focus on these things, and we come back together in the fall when all the traveling's over with. My prayer is that we come back together perfectly joined together in heart, and we will find ourselves, by God's grace, a strong, unified, thriving family whose members are all moving in the same direction. So let's get to it. Let's talk for a few minutes about what some of these truths are. I've just picked three to talk about. You might have a different list than I do. That's okay. Here's some things for what it's worth I'd like you to think about this morning. I'd like for you, first of all, to think with me about God's heart for all people. And it takes our attention to chapter 1 and to the core of the gospel. I could have said the heart of the gospel. That might have been more fitting, given the language and the point. Look at verses 12 and 13. Again, Paul's in prison and he writes, "I want you to know, brethren, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known," and notice where it's gone, "throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." Wow, so the gospel's going to a lot of people. So Paul's in prison, yes. Separated from his brethren, yes. Where's his focus? His focus is on people. And his focus is on people, more to the point, who need the message of salvation. That would include his brethren, right? We don't stop needing God's message of salvation. But here he's focusing specifically on people who need yet to enter into Christ. And he mentions some specifics. Even, and don't let this pass by too quickly without thinking about how magnificent this is, the Praetorian Guard, Roman soldiers. Those guys could be cold and cruel. A lot of people just hated them. You see Paul's heart, though? It's the heart of God for people. The heart of God to bless people, wicked people, people that need a Savior, people that need to be cleansed, people that need to change. And God can change them. He wants to open salvation to them so they can be cleansed of their sin and be transformed into the image of Christ. What a heart. In fact, let me say some things that may challenge you a bit. I don't think it's oversimplifying things to say that this point would be key to fostering a family spirit within this church. Think about it. A heart for people. Doesn't it just go hand in hand with that? With fostering a family spirit? I further don't think it's oversimplifying things to say this point is key to developing a culture of sharing the gospel. I mean, when you boil everything down, God wants us as His children to share in His heart, in His desire. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, "for all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." To the extent what we want for others, what God has done for us, we'll strive together for the faith of the gospel. We want for others what God has given to us. And when all of us have that heart, we'll find ourselves closely aligned and we'll be striving together. We'll be closely united. I'm not speaking to a church, by the way, that I think is not united. But united churches need teaching on unity, don't we? How can we allow this truth to live with us this summer, live within us? Well, no matter where we're at, certainly, everyone around us is someone God loves. So really, whether we're traveling or not, this point we can take with us, can't we? We can put it in our suitcase. More important, we take it with us in our heart. Because everyone we see around us is someone for whom Jesus died. And so that includes the cold, distant neighbor that you can't stand. It includes that quirky kid at camp that everyone else might be kind of poking fun at. Kids, you have an opportunity to show the heart of God this summer, maybe. Will you do that? Show interest in the one that kind of keeps to themselves and maybe doesn't have a circle of friends they're running with? That person in your circle, maybe, who hasn't learned why gossip is so damaging. We can show the heart of God toward that person. The store cashier who's rude and obnoxious and who clearly hasn't figured out that your patronage is helping to pay their salary. Don't you just, we show the heart of God, right? We show the heart of God. How about that coworker who's always sharing news of who they slept with? Includes the desk attendant at the hotel you might be staying at. If God loves us, He loves others. He has a heart for people. And that heart is something that needs to course through each and every one of us. I told you, that's not something you haven't heard before. But we need to take it with us. And to the extent that we do, wherever we're at, we'll be unified. even in an assisted living facility, showing interest in those caregivers that do so much for you. How about this point? How about God's delight? And here we're narrowing our focus, aren't we? God has a heart for all people, but we've kind of always been emphasizing in our class, God has a special delight for His people. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, just as an example, just going to take a quick run through the language here that I think reflects that directly or indirectly. First of all, there's the word saint in Philippians 1 and verse 1. What's that mean? Well, saints, he calls us saints to indicate that in his view we are separate. He has, Colossians 1, called us out of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, and we are part of this special collection of people. Separate, distinct, certainly holy in our standing before God. Certainly it ought to be the case that we are distinct in our behavior. But let's don't forget this when we talk about holiness. Holiness also includes the idea of being separate and distinct and special in the heart of God. In fact, in 1 Peter 2, you pick up on some of that language, right? We're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and then... One translation says a peculiar people, which may be a peculiar way to render that. Another translation says a people for God's own possession. Don't you get the imagery of God wanting to hold this people close to his heart? That's the idea. Saints. How about verse 2? To his special people, what does he give? He gives grace and peace. Yes, God gives grace to all, but here I think we see he gives even greater things to his people. And then third, verses 3 and 4, notice the personal sentiments of Paul. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. His words are inspired. They're commended to us, and thus they reflect the mind of God and the attitude of God, the heart of God. God indeed welcomes prayers for his people. Why? Because he delights in us. He has affection for us. In fact, you go down to verse 8, God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. In fact, the affection of Christ himself is greater for us than, and greater for the Philippians than Paul's was. Paul shared the very affection of Christ. Now that's a point we've been emphasizing in the book of Isaiah, for instance, when we are described as a royal diadem in the hand of God in verses 3 through 6, describing his people as a bride that God weds and takes great delight in. It's a thought, in fact, expressed throughout the Bible in Psalm 16, for example. In Psalm 16 and verse 3, we find this same idea. Psalm 16 and verse 3, the text says, as for the saints who are in the earth, what about them? They are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. And then there's the beautiful imagery in Ephesians 5, again, where we are described as the bride of Christ, for whom Christ died, that Christ seeks to nourish and cherish. And perhaps the language that best drives home this point, at least for me, is that which Jesus used over and over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's probably fitting that today we mention this. The fact that God is our heavenly Father. That he delights in his children and always seeks to do what is best for them. I don't need to take that imagery any further, right? For a lot of us, we get that. I don't have to ask Derek if he gets that. Or Nicole, if she gets that. We get that point, don't we? We delight in our children. And so this is a truth as well that we need to allow to live within us. And if we'll do that, I think the fabric of our fellowship will benefit. Paul said to the Philippians in verse 7 of chapter 1, I have you in my heart. That's a great expression. We need to be deliberate about having one another in our hearts, even as we're away this summer. Need to be taking one another's names before the throne, as Paul does here in this text. It's all too easy to drift into attitudes and speech and behaviors that don't edify, that in fact erode our trust in one another. It's all too easy for us to lose touch with one another when our lives get hectic. I might suggest printing just a basic approach. Print out a copy of the directory. Keep it somewhere where you're going to see it every day. Maybe help you in your prayers for your brethren. Maybe you can take a moment each day and pray for someone by name. I know the Aitchisons would appreciate that. Our young parents would appreciate that. Our teenagers would appreciate that, I know. They're so overwhelmed at times. It's not easy to carry the burdens that they carry. And so even if we can't all be together physically at times, if we delight in one another with the heart of God, I think we can all find ourselves in the same place this summer, in a sense, all at the throne of God, all taking each other's names, petitioning His favor for one another. One other truth I want to talk about with you this morning, and that is something else we've been emphasizing, and that is God's work through us. I want to go back to chapter 1 again and to verses 12 and 13. I want you to just see this time how Paul viewed his circumstances through a kingdom lens. He could have chosen to focus on what was going on in his life in terms of their personal impact on him. That's just not Paul's focus. I'm sure Paul wasn't happy about being confined. But his own personal welfare was much less important than God's purpose, than what God could accomplish through him. It wasn't his progress that mattered. It was the progress of the gospel. I want you to see how he describes his imprisonment. He calls it more than jail time. Notice what he says. In verse 13, he calls it my imprisonment in the cause of Christ. Now, here's what I think Paul means by that. I think there are at least a couple of ideas rolled into that. Certainly, first, he was imprisoned because of his commitment to the cause of Christ. But I think not only that, I think he sees his imprisonment as actually furthering that cause. And as you read on, I think that that's borne out. So think then about how impactful Paul's instruction in verse 27 would be. He's calling on them to have skin in the game, to be involved in the cause, and to see their lives as conduits for the working of God. Let me ask something I've asked many of us. Phil's asked it, I'm asking it. What is it that we think God could accomplish through us? When we read Isaiah, and that's where we've been stressing this, we find that God had plans to impact entire nations through His people. And I want to tell you, when we come to the New Testament, that's precisely what we see. If you go to chapter 2 of Philippians, same letter, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Well, here's one way. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. We want a chance to stand out as people. There's a great way to do it. So that you'll prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You see it? God working through His people to impact nations, peoples. When we adopt the mind of Christ and we get away from spending our days grumbling and complaining and we get our kingdom hats on, great things can happen. Maybe it's 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, where those brethren have said of them that their faith has sounded forth and gone forth from them into every place. What do we think God can accomplish through us? Is Kansas City too big for Him? What about an entire country? Costa Rica, Panama, and now Malawi. You know those are not just random mentions. Places where either God is already working through our direct or indirect involvement or about to work through our involvement. What do we think God can do? Paul affirmed in Ephesians 3:20 that it is able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. I want to say just a word or two about the work in Malawi. Wendell and Misty are on their way to the airport. In your mailbox, you'll find a copy of the itinerary. I know I've got it here somewhere. A copy of the itinerary that Wendell and Misty are going to be following, and Wendell gave us permission to print this, and it'll be in your mailbox, and it has two sides. I'm not going to go through this. You can get this. In fact, I want you to get this, and over the next 3 weeks, I want you to keep this somewhere with you. Keep it in your Bible. Keep it on your refrigerator. Keep it close to you. Today, Wendell and Misty, just to kind of hit the highlights, they're going to be traveling a couple of legs through the air to New York City, and then tomorrow they're going to be making their way to Johannesburg, South Africa, and then to Lilongwe, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, which is the capital, I believe, of the nation of Malawi. And you can see it's just tucked down here. Brother Vincent talked about it this winter when he was with us. I trust he will be there too. But that's where Wendell and Misty are headed. And they'll be moving ahead in the time zone. And so it will be Wednesday where they're at when they finally arrive. And then over the course of several days, they've got a lot of things that with God's help they're hoping to do. Here's why I bring it up. I want to call on the members of this church to be praying for them every day and to be specific. Pray about what they're going to be doing that day. Now remember, they're ahead in time, so pray ahead a bit, okay? Evangelism is the great work of God. We need to have faith in the working of God through us, whether it's here, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in Central America. God is working through us. He gives the increase. Let's pray that He does so through the efforts of our dear brother and sister. I've got a song I want to lead us in, and then I've asked Phil to lead in a prayer, to lead us in a prayer about this trip. I want us to appreciate, brethren, the need for all of us to be involved in what Wendell and Misty are doing. They need our prayers every day. Let's make sure that we're supporting the work here or wherever we're traveling this summer. We cue it up there. Okay, we're going to sing the song, Your Kingdom Until Then. Of course, we're part of the kingdom now, but there are manifestations of the kingdom that are yet to come. The idea of the kingdom is the rule of God in the hearts of men. And it's our prayer that God will come to rule in the hearts and lives of as many people as possible. And in this song, we're pledging to be instruments of His in that kingdom. So let's sing it together.
We will see the holy city come descending like a bride, with the Lamb of glory seated on His throne. A new earth and a new heaven with its gates thrown open wide, when the King of Zion comes to claim His own. Till Your kingdom comes in power, saints and angels shout amen. Father, we will be Your kingdom, be Your kingdom until then. Then the Son will raise a scepter filled with righteousness and peace, saying there is no more sorrow, no more night, and the chains will all be broken, no more hunger, no disease, only freedom when the darkness turns to light. Till Your kingdom comes in power, saints and angels shout amen. Father, we will be Your kingdom, be Your kingdom until then. Let us be a holy nation, known for justice and for grace. Let our love
Father, we are so grateful for all the ways that you've blessed this congregation, both in the past and presently. We thank you for the families that represent this group, for each individual that makes up this spiritual family. We thank you we can call you our Father. Father, we pray that you will use us in your kingdom, that you will open our eyes to the plans that you have for each one of us as kingdom citizens. Father, we come before you confessing that there are times we've not been as active in your kingdom as we should have been. We've been distracted, fearful, lazy. Father, we're truly sorry for this. Give us an attitude of servant activity. Help motivate us to work. Help increase our faith in you so that we can impact your world. As two members of our group go out today on a teaching tour to Africa, we pray for their safety as they travel to country and in country. We pray that that will be without complication. Lord, we pray that you will be with Wendell and Misty, that you will put any barriers out of their way, that you will allow them to touch the hearts of those in that country, and we pray that the barrier to the hearts of those that are about to receive your word will be renewed. Father, may Wendell and Misty wake up each morning with Larry, thinking of new mercies every day. Lord, give them boldness to communicate effectively through language and cultural barriers. Please remove evil forces in the world that would seek to hinder your spread of the gospel. Lord, give them good health and strength and energy to carry out this wonderful work. May each day they feel the joy of the Lord as their strength. Lord, grant them peace and relaxation to refresh and restore their spirits with each day's activities. May you bless them every day. Lord, we pray that your kingdom will advance through Wendell and Misty. Lord, we pray that your kingdom will advance through each brother and sister in this group. As they work for the next 3 weeks, may they put on the armor of God to withstand the attacks of the evil one. Father, as we work these next 3 weeks, will you help each one of us to put on the whole armor of God that we will withstand? Help us to have the attitude towards our missionaries. We are with you. We will join with you. We will follow your lead and increase our activity as well. Be with us all, Father. Be with Wendell and Misty through the coming weeks. It's through your Son we pray. Amen.
Well, let's close with an invitation. It's God's desire to work in all of us, but he only does so through faith in Jesus Christ. He has the ability to heal our brokenness and to set us on a better path. But that means that we have to be willing to stand with him, and our faith in him must be strong and must drive us toward him and toward obedience to his will. And so we are encouraging in this song we're about to sing to indeed be people who stand up, as we prayed about even, stand up for Jesus. Are you standing with Jesus or are you working against him? Only one of those two is the case. Which one is it for you? We hope that you'll stand with Jesus. If we can help you do that, we hope you'll come right now while we stand as Luke leads us.